Yeah, you're live. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Well, welcome, everybody. If you're here to find out about the Last Children, you are in the right place. So, I'm Arnold, or Arnie, and this is my wife, Paula, over here. My daughter, Angela. So, I'll be talking. And this up here on the screen is David with Angela in the center, mm-hmm. and some family pictures there. So, how many of you are parents or directly affected by disabilities? And then the rest of you are here as part of church.
Grandparents.
Okay. All right. Good.
Good.
Excellent. All right.
Do we have any siblings?
Any siblings?
No. My sister's in California.
Yeah, we would have liked to have Lydia with us. Lydia was with us in...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I've heard... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Is this Gordon?
All right, so for about 40 minutes or so, we're gonna share our story from a dad's perspective, a mom, and a sibling. Angela's will take us to some video clips that we're going to see. And we'll each share from our perspective, but take notes, write things down, because we, at the end, we want you to ask questions. We'd rather be interactive than have us up here talking all the time. Okay, let's see. All right, we're going to share a little bit about David. I'm going to share a little bit about David, but right, the focus is on the siblings, but just to set, you know, some context, and... You know, and how we, as parents or grandparents or friends, can help support the family and the siblings. Okay. So, usually Paula would give the talk about David and his history a little bit, but I'm going to do that this time, because Paula has better things to share. And I'll say a few words about, from my dad's perspective. But I wanted to start off with this verse to kind of set the tone from 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. So... Right, we're here to learn from each other, and I know that you all have as much to offer on this as we do, I think. So David was born with a couple of different birth defects. He was hydrocephalic, which used to be called water in the brain, and he also had an encephaloceal on the back of his head, and that's from the spinal bifida family of birth defects. And for kids who have those, David's very high functioning. For that, and so for that we are very thankful. So this resulted in, you know, a moderate cognitive impairment for him. He's very high energy, ADD, very anxious. Those things have gotten better, but still things that he deals with. You would also find him somewhere on the autism spectrum as well. So during David's worst, right, John, you spoke of spitting. He was known for that on occasion. hitting his sister and those he felt safe with. One of Angela's girlfriends who was around long enough, and David lashed out at her and said, "Welcome to the family." Unfortunately, welcome to the family. Okay. And at one point, David was unpredictable enough. We even had to ask Angela to lock her door at night when she went to bed. Now, you know, that was never an issue, but it was bad for a while. So the focus of the workshop, though, as I said, I'm going to stop on David, and the focus is on siblings. And, okay, and pictures I already have up there. So my hat's off to Paula for recognizing early on, you know, the need to pay attention to Angela more and give her special time. Right, I'm dad, and like most dads, right, we like to fix things. But that usually was focused on what? Addressing the problem, the obvious problem in the room. you know, my thoughts initially weren't for Angela. So Paula was, right, Paula was with David every day, all day, and after school. But when I got home, I like to call it being on, and for you parents that are here, you know what it is to be on for your kids. And we, you know, that we play hide and go seek in the house and run around the house when I got home because David was high energy. We did a lot of running.
Wow.
A lot of running. And, yeah, one of my favorite things, though, I don't have this on, I'm going off script, so. Was we had a player piano, and David loved to sit on my lap, and I would play the old rolls.
Yeah.
Sit on my legs while I was pumping the piano, and
yeah.
Sing every night, every night. So that's a lot of fun. Okay. Okay. So my times with Angela revolved around homework and carpooling. Angela went to Trinity Baptist School, and so we spent a lot of time in the car together that way, as well as bedtimes at night. That's one of the ideas we have to share. We can talk about at the end, but we would swap off bedtimes at night to get focus time with each kid, So spelling homework was one of my favorites. Angela paid me a high compliment and said she laughed out loud on the spelling test because I would have these unique pronunciations so that she could remember all the letters to work. So we had daddy-daughter days and our yearly Christmas shopping during the snowstorm. The point is, right, these are just examples of, you know, utilizing or capitalizing on the everyday things that you can use to build into that sibling during those times. Okay, so next, Paula. Mm-hmm. Paula's going to share with us.
Just to the vision. Okay, so I kind of, you know, put some examples together of different events and some of the things I've realized now through the Lord and through the Bible and the things that the Lord has begun to teach me and change my heart to. So that's all intermingled. So I titled this God filling in the gaps and then some. So the examples of God showing me I could trust him took many years of work on his part. I could do this parenting journey with him leading the way. Trust and fear were my worst enemies. With his gentle, patient, and unique intervention, I have made progress with him as my guide. Proverbs 3:5, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. I used to read this verse and say, I don't like those words, do not depend on myself. Didn't like those at all. Now I read it and say, trusting the Lord has changed my heart and given me much rest in my life. I remember a few months before David was born, feeling this intense loss of my individual time with Angela. And I suppose that's a normal feeling a lot of parents have. But it was pretty intense. So, and I feel now like it was the Holy Spirit preparing me for this life-changing experience, that's intervention. So 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So he loved me enough to prepare and guide me with his Holy Spirit. Angela was 2 1/2 when David was born and very unaware of what was happening in her life. Maybe her thoughts were, why does mom keep leaving me for several days at a time and take David with her but not me?
Mm-hmm.
That first year, we had 3 hospital stays for neurological surgeries. Every time I came home, Angela's behavior was a little passive-aggressive. Understandably, couldn't blame her, but I still had to be the mom. During those times, the body of Christ loved us with meals, babysitting, and helping out in many ways. I know there is no substitute for mom, but it was God's first chance to show me I did not have to handle everything. He was going to fill in the gaps. Every parent wants their child to make friends at school, experience activities together and sports, and feel be part of a community. This was not my experience. It wasn't abusive or neglectful, but it's a different journey. So we had Angela attend a Christian school instead of public school because the benefits of early childhood ed and the smaller classrooms were very beneficial. And we intended to do the same for David, but as his delays and areas of realization of his needs kept coming, we realized this was not an option. So we live in rural country Vermont, like 45 minutes east of Burlington. Beautiful place. Look at Mount Mansfield. It's gorgeous. However, that can make you feel isolated. And there was a half an hour drive between the local town school and where Angela went to school. So there's a lot of obstacles and sacrifices made. And like the end of the school day, it's when David's meds were wearing off, so the car trip was not that great. You know, and all that stuff. So, you know, I helped an angel school, and I helped at the public school, so I was very, very scattered around. So being a special needs parent was an additional negative for me having friends. As a parent, my feeling of having community was very scattered. These were tough years, and I was not looking for God's plan, but just kept wishing it would be different or better. Mm-hmm. I had to get my focus off myself and be willing to ask God what his plans were. This was difficult, just trying to survive every day. Years later, I came to realize that having them separated during the school day gave Angela the space she needed and feeling some normalcy to her day. Then she would be with David at home after school in the evenings and the weekends. His behaviors with ADHD and a moderate impairment was a day-to-day balancing act with medications, intense behavior training, and structure. There was not much time to relax or be spontaneous with much. We did attend one evening a week at the church where Angela went to school. They were very accommodating to David. They were wonderful. And Arlen and I got to attend a Bible study at the same time. So this was great. So, therefore, and we did not really look forward to a family vacation until our first journey in Friends Retreat in 2004 in Pennsylvania. So, we came to realize that if we wanted special, normal relationship time with Angela as a child, that respite was very important. And we learned this, you know, through just our experience. So I encourage you, if you have any respite hours, use them very purposefully, because it will make a difference. So we needed to allow Angela to have that typical time as a child and show her we loved her enough to make her feel that important. And God gave us special people during those times and those years. I came to realize God was showing me David will always have a disability, and my love and care for him was not the only important thing in my life. I had other relationships that needed time invested. Mm-hmm. I had to let go and trust God to take care of him when I was not there. Mm-hmm. He was preparing me for the future plans he had for David, which was college in Wisconsin. Even though we were intentional about spending time with Angela, there was still the natural grieving of missing those special moments I could have had with her. I believe that all of life's experiences have a purpose, Don't dwell on what you don't have, but look for God's redeeming grace, and he will heal your heart. We are blessed to have a healthy relationship now with Angela and our son-in-law, Luke, and we're looking forward to our first grandchild in a couple of months. So, David is now living on his own. He graduated a year ago, June, from Shepherd's College. And as part of learning to trust God, God provided for him to go to Shepherd's College, which is a 3-year program. When God fills in the gaps to help families, he really goes all out. God will care for all of us if we give him the chance. I never imagined our lives would be like they are today. I am getting used to experiencing what feels normal, I guess. Yes, we are his guardians and work with the state for services, and obviously have a church family and joining friends. Yeah. So I have Jeremiah 29 here, and I wrote the scripture, and then I wrote my translation of it. 29:10-13. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not a disaster, to give you future and hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. The Lord said to me, you will be on a journey in Vermont for an earthly lifetime, a state that is spiritually dry. After 25 years, you will receive promises and blessings I had planned for you. I know at times it has seemed like life was a disaster, but I have given you blessings to share as a witness of your faith to others in Vermont. This earthly future can seem hopeless at times, but the hope of a spiritual future and a relationship with Jesus Christ is the hope we all have. When I pray now, I try and do more listening than talking. In the past, I expressed a lot of disappointment with God, anger, frustration, and confusion. He always listened to me. Now it's my turn. I encourage you to look for God in the midst of the sometimes mundane routine of life with disability for your families. I pray that you will find him in your whole heart. I know more of my heart is in his direction now, but there is still a lot more work to do on my journey with him. Thank you for listening. And now, Angela.
I want to start by telling you a little bit about what it was like for me having David as a brother at a young age. Basically, being very little, I just couldn't understand why he would act the way he did. Yelling, hitting, arguing, being defiant, and always stealing mom and dad's attention when I wanted it. So I acted out in different ways to try to get my parents' attention. But I also would take on a quiet role and just fade into the background and watch life happen around me and try to be a good girl. I think one of the hardest things for me as a child and teenager is that when I was trying to talk to my parents at the dinner table or whenever throughout the day, I would almost always get interrupted by David and at times would ask him to wait, but often I was the one that had to wait and let him get his needs met before I could. Continue. Also, our family life revolved around him because anything we did or any change in our schedule or somewhere we would go could have had consequences for all of us. We always had to think about how things were going to affect him. As we moved into adolescent years, it was quite challenging. He would get mad at me sometimes and hit me or yell at me. And if I went away overnight to a friend's house, when I got home, he would be mad because he had missed me and didn't know how to express his emotions. So there were times when I didn't want to go home. Those junior high and high school years were very hard for me, but I was starting to be able to find the joy in having David as a brother. I could not wait to get out of the house and go to college. A few weeks into my freshman year at Nyack College, we had a chapel series called Deeper Life, and the speaker on Monday night talked about brokenness and how sometimes we are completely unaware of the brokenness inside us and continue on in life with our familiar routine. He had a wonderful message about God's grace and healing power. God grabbed my heart that night, and all those bad memories came flooding back, and God allowed me to cry for quite a while and let some of that sadness and anger out. My friends prayed for me, and we worshipped till late that night. After that night, I was never the same, and I began to see a brighter future, and it also opened my eyes to the fact that there are other kids out there, just like me, who want to know they're not alone.
Get used to it.
Yeah. And that siblings of those with a disability need to stick together and support one another. Mm-hmm. So that is what sparked the idea for me for disability ministry at Johnny and Friends. Sibling ministry. Mm-hmm. It started out as just one elective that I led with a couple games and discussion questions, and we talked about what was hard about our daily life with a disability in our family, and also what we were thankful for in our siblings. A few years ago, throughout the week at retreat, I was asked by many kids and parents if there was more available for siblings during the week. Hearing that confirmed for me that sibling ministry is where God wants me in the ministry of Johnny and Friends. These past couple years, we have done more with it at camp. Last 2 years ago, we had a parent-sibling photo scavenger hunt, which was a huge hit. Mm-hmm. We did a girl spa, and every year we always do a workshop where we get a little deeper with discussions and show clips from the video we're going to show you. At this past retreat in August, a young girl asked to watch the entire video. It's about 20, 30 minutes long, which surprised me a lot because it is a tough video and a lot to take in. So we did watch the whole thing, and after had really great discussions about their family lives and things they can do to help to get more time with mom and dad. As a result of leading this ministry, my parents and I have had a lot of great discussions about our past as a family, and lots of things have come out in the open which have been really good for our relationship. Yes, there are things we wish he had done differently, but we have learned a lot. We as siblings tend to take on a few different roles as we see you deal with our disabled siblings. One is a caretaker. We just pitch in and help because it seems like the right thing to do and feels like our responsibility. We also tend to take on the same stress that you are under and feel the same things because we love our parents and see what they're going through is hard. We also do our best to be good and not cause you added stress. We also tend to be a giver and a peacemaker. Maria, I don't know if some of you might know her, told me about this book, Being the Other One. And it's not written by a Christian author, but it really depicts well, I think, psychologically and different things that siblings can go through. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to read a few excerpts from it. I look at the world quite differently from my friends, who have no experience of being a sib. As I put it once, normal family life and parenting is a country I will never be able to visit, and whose language I will never understand. My experience just doesn't compute. When my non-sib friends talk about their childhoods, I stay silent for the most part. Because even when I tell them the bare facts about my brother, the facts can't convey the anguish, resentment, fear, and everything else mixed in. The childhood experiences I never got to have or that were ruined by my brother's outbursts, there's no way they'll ever comprehend. And one more. Siblings can become used to always putting the needs of another before their own, and this can be particularly unhealthy if the sibling has also adopted the role of a people pleaser. So I just wanted to share this with you to simply help make you aware of some of the things your typical children or people you know may be experiencing. They love you very much and just want to be able to have uninterrupted time with mom and dad when they can, and for you to just be there for them. My heart is to serve them and be their friend and let them know that there are others out there that understand that life can be hard for us, and that we can also be thankful for the gifts that our siblings are to us, and that God is with us right by our side, helping us navigate every step of the way.
So I forgot to mention on the way in, if you didn't get a handout, we have a handout which has our contact information and the book that Angela just referenced and a link to the video, the full video.
I ran out.
Oh, you ran out?
Yeah.
Okay, well, see us. If you didn't get one and you want one, you just come see us. And the for those who came in a little bit late, I'm gonna intro the video clips, just a few video clips, and then we're gonna have time for questions and discussion. So because it's always better that way, I think. So we're gonna share a few. This is from a TED Talk. I think probably most of you are familiar with TED Talks, and Liz Babbitt shared this with Angela a few years ago. And Alicia is the lady's name. We're not going to show the beginning. Is presenting to a general audience, right? Not necessarily just a group of people associated with disabilities, necessarily. And we highly recommend you check out the full-length video. It's really, really powerful. Let's see. And, you know, for you parents or even for you grandparents, this is pretty hard to see. let me start that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, why glass? Why not titanium or plastic? Well, you may think it's because glass children are fragile and they break very easily. But the reality is, we are some of the strongest children there are. We have to be in order to survive the things that we have survived. We are called glass children because our parents are so consumed with the needs of our brothers and sisters that when they look at us, they look right through us as though we're made of glass. That's what a glass child is. You see, we're very sensitive to the needs of our parents and of our siblings. And we love our mothers and fathers and our brothers and sisters. And we know that the problems that we have, the things that we face, are insignificant compared to what our parents are dealing with and our siblings are dealing with. So we're very quiet. We become caretakers of the family. And that's my story. So I am the oldest of three children, and my youngest brother, Mario, was born in the 70s. He has autism pretty severely, and that...
It's a little broken up.
Well, we just wanted that we picked out, right, some highlights that we wanted you to be sure and see.
No one had a clue about how much I wanted to die. Because again, that was my job. You see, glass children take on these caretaker responsibilities. And naturally, we are conditioned not to have any problems. We are supposed to be perfect. When someone asks us how we're doing, the answer is always, I'm doing fine. The reason that I want to share this with you is because you have an opportunity to make a massive difference in the lives of a glass child, in the lives of a family that has a special needs child. And I have two messages. I have one for the parents. Parents, this may be really tough for you to hear, but please hear this. You cannot take for granted the emotional health of your children. Every emotion that you feel, whether it's pain, whether it's anger, frustration, fear, concern, crises of faith that you are experiencing because of your special needs child, your healthy child feels all of it too. But with the coping skills of a child. So when you ask your healthy child, are you okay? And they say, yes, mommy, I'm fine. Do not believe them. They are not fine. How can they be fine? if they are experiencing what you are experiencing as a child. And folks, I get it. I saw what my parents went through. They didn't have the capacity. They didn't have the tools. They were barely making it on their own. So parents, find a place for your child to get help. You send them to counseling. You find a support group for them. Find a safe place where they can go and talk about their feelings and get some tools so they know how to cope and they know what to do. Because otherwise, the patterns that they learn are going to repeat themselves through adulthood. Wind. Wind is something that's very interesting to me. And I think we all understand what hurricane force wind or what tornadic wind looks like and what it can do. But have you ever thought about 1 mile per hour wind? Well, I did. And I called a meteorologist and he said, he kind of laughed at me and said, Alicia, 1 mile per hour wind? Come on, that's nothing. In fact, we call that near calm. And I said, okay, but what does it look like? And he said, you would have to be looking at a field of grass, and at the precise moment that this 1 mile per hour wind blew, you would see a blade of grass just slightly sway. Huh. That is 1 mile per hour wind. Now hold that thought for just a moment. Back in June, my mom and I were rummaging through some of her old drawers, and we found something. My mother has been doing cross-stitch as long as I can remember. She does such a beautiful job. But we were going through these drawers, and we found this. And I opened it, and it was a birth announcement for my brother David. And I will show this to the camera. It may not be real easy for you to see, but there's red pen marked all over this. And guys, when I opened this up, it immobilized me because I realized I was holding in my hand the symbol of my childhood. Yeah. My childhood was about the birth and the death of my brother David and about the destruction that my brother Mario caused. Here's the thing about 1 mile per hour wind. Did you know that the briefest gust can change the trajectory of a bullet by up to 15 inches? Mm-hmm. 1 mile per hour wind that just ever so slightly bends a blade of grass can change the trajectory of a bullet by up to 15 inches. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you to be a brief gust of gentle, near calm, 1 mile per hour wind in the life of a glass child. And you will change their trajectory forever so that no child ever has to say, this was the symbol of my youth. Thank you.
Okay. So before we go to questions, I just want to say a couple of things. One of them is that for you parents, the last thing you need is one more thing to do. Right? One more thing to put on the list for your day. So you don't want this to be, you know, another thing of guilt.
Yeah.
So it's about what we talked about this morning, the family panel. Right? It's just about intentionally loving in those mm-hmm. moments when you have time. You know, it's just being intentional. Camp and like this all week at camp. Okay, let's see. So, right, we're not going to give you the list. It's not going to be 15 minutes a day or half an hour a week. That's not what it's about, right? It's just about being aware and being intentional. And build it into your day, like I talked earlier, right, about car rides and bedtimes and those kinds of things. You know, I'm going to open for questions. I'll just go to that bedtime example. Right, every other night we would swap off, and one night I'd put Angela to bed, the next night I'd put David to bed, and we would alternate back and forth, and that was a time for each of us to have one-on-one time with each of the kids. And, right, it wasn't, you know, discipline was not associated with bedtime, right? This was something that was built in to the schedule, right? It was a safe time and a time to just share together. And so that's just one, you know, example of how you can build it into your day. So I'm going to stop now, and I'm going to open up. I have a few other things written down here, but I'd rather hear you guys. You can ask us questions, ask Angela questions. Angela, I said that, you know, we felt these are important. These segments Angela picked up. She was the one who picked out what she felt were the most important ones that she wanted you to hear. So ask any of us anything. Thoughts, comments?
You know, we have just recently had our 10-year-old daughter diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
I mean, autism. She would have been diagnosed as being Asperger's, but now they put it all into one big category. Yeah. So we're learning how to just deal with her, mm-hmm. and we see the effects of what we've been dealing with her in past 3 or 4 years, we've been dealing with it completely wrong. And it has overtaken our family. And so we're trying to learn how to adapt to that. Mm-hmm. So I will just ask, you know, these little clues and hints are good to bring to us so that we know we've got to sometimes notice the small things in the other children.
How many other kids do you have?
We actually have 7 children.
Oh, wow.
4 of them are adults, and 3 of them are still at home. So we still have she's 10, we have a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old, 12-year-old daughter, 14-year-old son, 10-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
The adult children, you know, they're, 3 of them don't live at home, 1 of them is still at home. But really our focus right now is just trying to live the day-to-day try to adapt and learn. So encouraging to hear your words and happy to hear your willingness to participate and just, again, bringing a little bit of insight because we're so focused right now on trying to figure out what we need for our 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Are there other, besides school and in your community, are there other services that she would qualify for? Like respite programs
we are in the process of finding all that.
Figuring out, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what state are you in?
We're in New Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're in Vermont, so we can't help too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately, we do have some older children, so they have.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we have some support there too for some of that. But, just trying to figure out life right now.
As a guy, I can say at camp when we talk to dads, reach out, ask people for help. Come mow my lawn, come take out my trash to the dump, or whatever it is, reach out to your friends and help, you know, bring them in, because they want to help, many of them, not all of them, some people don't, they're very uncomfortable, but reach out. That's one thing I didn't do well. Probably should say don't do well, but that's what I would encourage you to do. And like Paula was alluding to reach out to services, and if you can get some respite, you know, then use that time. Some of the time needs to be for you as a couple, but some of it use for your kids, right? Your other typical kids, and
yeah, just again, the idea is to just get a mindset of being intentional and look for those times where, like a lot of times, and this is hard too, because, but a lot of what we did was Paula would stay home or I would stay home, and then we would have time with Angela. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that can be part of it too. It's nice when you can both be there for your other kids, but that's not reality. You know, you can't always do that. So, okay. Other comments, questions? You had one.
So I'm a youth leader in for high school kids, and so one of the families there, it's a triplets. So I think actually one of them went to Johnny and Friends in August, so that was cool as a sibling. And so, yeah, I think for me as their youth leader, the struggle is as triplets, one of them has autism, and so the balance of really pouring into the Glass children and making sure that they feel loved and cared for, especially at home. They're the ones who do have to try and keep face or hold it all together. So I will try and spend a lot of time with them, but then the other girl with, her name's Corinne. So Corinne, has autism. Sometimes she gets really upset when her siblings are doing something that she's not a part of. Mm-hmm. And so I see that it does, her mom has mentioned that it causes a lot of conflict even within the house, just because a lot of times they won't allow the siblings to do something just because Corinne will have such a hard time. So they end up not doing anything at all. So I obviously want to come alongside them and help them. I don't want to make it worse for the family. Yeah. So what's that balance of...
Yeah. And Angela even brought that up, right? Yeah. She wants to go, but she doesn't want to go because then she's got to come home. Yeah. That's the same kind of thing, right? I mean, I don't know for them if, you know, what's it like when, I'm sure, I can just imagine, but what's it like when, if you were to go to the home and spend time with the siblings, is the other, you know, is the one with the disability able to, you know, separate and do their own thing or not, you know, maybe trying to coordinate where they have something special that's going on for just them, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard. It is hard. There are there's no easy answers to stuff like this, right?
And that's just, you know, it might sound a little harsh, but it just might be a consequence that they have to deal with to give their girls some time with someone. And at that age, you know, as teenagers, it's so important. You know, and I was more willing to talk to other teens and young women when I was a teenager than mom, because it's just, you know, they could speak into my life in a different way. And so, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure there might be ways for you to try to help kind of make the conflict a little less daunting, but and if Corinne can, you know, like explain to her, like, your sisters need space and need some special time too, and you know,
it's really hard because they're triplets, right?
That's
a whole different level, right? Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm sure the siblings probably then feel bad for making her feel that way, which they shouldn't, but
yeah. And I think what's hard for parents sometimes is you get into this routine to keep the peace. You know, you have the school routine and the home routine, and you're just kind of, okay, it's good today. We had a good day, right? So when you change that or upset the apple cart, it can be a tough thing to do and go through. But sometimes you discover things that, oh, wow, this worked, you know? But if you never try, you don't find out. You know, it could go bad or it could go good. I mean, I think at camp lots of times that if families are out of their routine and their child does something they never ever thought they could do, but it's because they got out of their element. And so that's just an encouragement. I mean, you're still, you know, navigating. So, but I remember that with Dave, we'd be going along, okay, should we try something new? Then see what happens, you know, type of thing. And, you know,
We would always.
But that's what would really.
We would always have those conversations about things coming up. We would knew things were coming up. And we would not do some new things because we knew that was coming. But there were also times where we said, you know, we're going to push on this now. We're going to see how this goes. We did this before. It's been several months or something. We're going to push on this again. And it's hard. It's really hard to do that. But it's, you know, it pays in the end, I think, because they do. I think that sometimes we expect less than we should of our kids with disabilities, and you don't know until you push a little, but there's pain in that, right? It doesn't come for free. It does not come for free. So other questions or comments?
I'm just curious, for both you and your wife, like, was this issue pointed out to you about the class child, or did you kind of discover that yourself in the course of time?
No, it was from Liz Babbitt.
No.
Paula
gets full credit. Paula gets full credit.
Oh, well, reaching out and using the resources, like the Vermont Family Network had SIP shops when she was younger, and I would take her to those.
So you're aware of it from
was
early
aware
on,
of it early like on, that. Yeah. And just, you know.
But the idea of bringing it into the ministry, I just had
was
the idea after going to college and going through that, and I was like, hey, you know. And family retreat was great for me, and I had a lot of fun, but it was still something we did because of David.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, I wasn't super excited to go. Like, mm-hmm. It was all, before we had started this, you know, it just kind of felt like it, the whole week was revolved around him. And mm-hmm. I mean, people would talk to me, and it was great, but, you know, it's a family retreat. It really should
but
be
it's
about
emerged now
every
into the
member
whole family.
Family.
So it sounds like maybe, did you feel when you had that experience at college that you yourself didn't realize how deeply growing up with David had really affected you?
I mean, I knew it was hard and it had affected me, but realizing that if I hadn't have dealt with all those feelings, that I was going to continue to be bitter and angry.
Was there anything else you did that helped with all that? Or, you know, did you talk to your friends or... I've tried to encourage my kids to talk to their friends, and they're like, they don't get it, Mom.
It's true.
So was there somebody that you could talk to about it, at, you know, through the years as you were growing up?
Right. I mean, I would talk to my friends and tell them and complain about my brother and, you know.
They'd listen.
All that stuff, but I don't think I really found someone else that really got it until I got to Johnny and Friends.
Well, yeah, and that's in the SIP shops, right? That the state
offered, that
did
help too. Yeah,
right, because it's you come to Johnny and Friends and you're immediately family, and people get you and your family, even though they don't experience the same things.
Sure,
you don't have to explain, and you know you don't have to explain so much. You know, people get it, and so that's I think you know where it comes from, right? The help, that's where the real support comes from, right? You don't have to, you might have a friend, you know, you might have a longtime friend that you, over time, you can share all these things and they can be brought along and they can be helpful. But at a place like camp, you're already starting way down the road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you meet other families maybe in your area you never knew or you get connected. Mm-hmm.
I think I saw another hand.
I could just put a plug in for the family retreat because we were there for the first time in August.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first had the application, they were talking about Hudson having an STM, who was Andrea, an incredible child, and Charlie having one. And I'm like, Charlie? Why is Charlie? You know, he's fine. I mean, that's how he, you know,
yeah,
just
yeah,
so cool
yeah,
as I was.
Sure. Not
yeah.
everybody thinks of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't. Yeah.
And, Dante, who's here this weekend too, was his STM, and just was so wonderful with him. And also, it was I think it was Jason who was his like his group leader.
Oh
yes.
Yeah.
And you know, Charlie said at the end, he said, you know, Jason said that you know this is really a privilege being a brother to Hudson is really a privilege.
And that
made a huge impact. Just to hear somebody say that other than me.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure if I said that either. But, you know, it was just such a transformative experience for our family. So, you know, I just wanted to put a plug in for that. And also a question. We have three other boys, so our typical kids are all boys. And I'm sure there's different dynamics there.
Yeah.
Charlie is very expressive. The other two are not.
Yeah.
And the oldest one is 20, almost 21 now. Jake is 18.
Yeah.
They just don't share a lot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I guess I'm just wondering do you have any suggestions as to how to you know, try to pull them out? Mm. Or what they're really...
Watch the video of them.
Yeah. Talk to Jason.
Talk to Jason. There may be things in there that they're not even aware of.
Yeah.
Right, like Angela. Yeah. I mean, we
struggle with that with the ministry and learning how to... We're kind of figuring out. We want to minister to the guys, but we don't want to make them sit in the room and talk about their feelings for an hour either.
No.
So, you know.
There are a few things worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I would reach out to Jason because he's so good at reaching out and connecting with teens and getting them to talk at least a little bit. Yeah, if you can. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One other thought I had from this morning, right in family time where they had the panel, family panel. And they said, you know, and this is true, I'm not saying don't do this. Mm-hmm. But, right, they said that they felt welcomed when they came into the church and they approached their son or daughter with a disability, right?
Yeah.
Well, for you who are wanting to support the glass children, go to them.
Go to them.
Welcome them. Check in with them. Yeah. You know, and if you're just talking to the parents, even ask, well, how is the sibling, right? Instead of how is the one with the disability. And they will hear that and they will... You know, it seems like a small thing, right? But when we hear a word of encouragement for someone who's mentioning us and thinking about us, right, it makes us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's another way to do it. I'm not saying don't greet the person with a disability. I'm not saying don't do that, but just, you know.
And if they're, you know, separate from their family, go talk to them. And don't talk about their sibling at all. Because that's what people would often do with me in church.
About you.
It's different now that I'm older. I kind of have my own life. But,
good point.
You know, everybody always wanted to talk about David, and I just wanted to walk away. I'm like, I don't want to talk about him. You know?
I was just going to ask, you know, I have a granddaughter in the South. And a number of years ago, she's actually just as finishing college, but... A number of years ago, she often used to say, "Hey, Grandpa, I'm always invisible." Nobody ever talked to her. They sort of overlooked her. Took the parents, and they left alone. And I've experienced that as a child, thinking eons ago. But you know, it happens. You know, because you know, if they grow up from little kids, even into the teens, nobody talks to them.
Right. So, again, just be intentional. Just think about it. You know, don't add it into another part of your guilt list. You know, but just be intentional.
And awareness is huge, right? Like, not everybody thought of it. I mean, I remember when I brought up the idea of an elective. I think I went to like a meeting at an office for Johnny and Friends with Liz and Doug and everybody, and they were like, "Yeah. That's a really good idea." Like, I never really... People don't necessarily think about it. So, raising awareness is good, too.
Let me... you know, I didn't pray before. I'm going to pray us out. We got the people are going to be coming. But.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you work in our lives, in the good times and the bad times, Lord. And we do pray that you would strengthen us, that you would give us that peace, that you are in control and that you are going to walk through this with us. And we ask, Lord, that you would use this time of sharing with each other to see new truths from your word and new things that perhaps we can do to help those around us as we leave this place. And I thank you for everyone coming and their openness to ask questions and talk to us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Yes?
I have a question. So we know what it's like in the kids, the last kids don't get this. Do you have information or testimonies or data? What happens when these strategies are employed in their lives and